Lord, we love you. We're grateful for you. I thank you for every person that's here today. Thank you for those that are in the room, those that are watching online. God, we ask that you would just continue to speak powerfully into our hearts, into our lives, like you always do. Do your thing again today, right here, right now. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome to Freedom. Welcome to the 10 o'clock. And welcome to Mother's Day. I hope that you're having a good day. Hope you have a great day for all the moms in the room. Hope it's great. And hope you don't have to cook nothing. And you get to eat a lot of food. Calories don't count on Mother's Day. But I did find out that not only calories don't count for the moms, but they also don't count for anybody else, because that just wouldn't be fair. You know what I mean? So the Lord wants us to be able to have Mother's Day food. That's what I've heard. He told me yesterday. But I told you the last several weeks that by Mother's Day, I would be ready to give you an announcement. By me being ready, that everybody else would be ready for me to be able to do this, to give you an announcement about where we're going, what we're doing in terms of when we're able to move into this new building that we've been building for the last 97 years. It feels like to me right now. But here is the good news. On May the 31st, 3 weeks from today, we will make the move to the new building. That'll be our first Sunday over there. So that'll be awesome. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for everybody. So with that being said, here's what it means. May 24th, which is the Sunday before that, 2 weeks from today, Memorial Day weekend, we will be online only on that day. The reason is because we got a lot of stuff that has to move from here to there, from other places to here, to get not only that room finalized, but to get this room finalized, because this is where this will be the brand new elementary auditorium. So we want to make sure it's ready to roll from an AVL, audio, video, lighting scenario. And so May the 24th will be online only. And what I want you to do on that particular day is there's a QR code in front of you, on the seat in front of you. You can scan that QR code, because if you're like, what am I going to do? It's online only. I can watch church. But I also want you to know we have a lot of stuff that we need to do both inside and outside. So we're going to do like a serve type day where instead of coming to church for an hour, you can come up here and serve for an hour. You can sign up. I don't know all the details, but the QR code knows all the details. And so if you will scan that, it'll give you all the information that you need, because we need probably at least a couple hundred people, which should be easy because we have over, you know, there'll be 2,200 people here today. So I just need like 10% of you to be like, yeah, I'm going to man up, or I'm going to woman up, and I'm going to come up here and serve and be a part of that. It's going to be really, really great. So make sure that you scan that QR code. What else? I got to tell you more things. It is also, what that means is that next Sunday will be our last Sunday in this particular building that we're in. So make sure that you're here. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's wild to think that I remember when we moved into this particular building, and I was like, man, this building is ginormous. And now I'm like, this is the smallest building in the history of the world. But nonetheless, it's going to be really, really great next week. Here's big news. This doesn't matter to anybody except for me. You've been watching a lot of news about the United States being at war with Iran, and you've heard about Iran sending these missiles that keep landing in the water. The problem is, you know, most of their missiles, they just go up and come right down and land in the water. But a few of them landed in our parking lot out there, and it blew up our parking lot. And so, you know, the good news is tomorrow they pave that parking lot, which I am so grateful for. I drive a GMC Sierra, and I'm still bouncing around whenever I drive through that parking lot. So some of you driving around in your little Tesla, I can imagine what that's like. But nonetheless, that thing gets paved. And I think I'm equally as excited about the road getting paved as I am about moving into that building, honestly. So anyway, all that to say, one more thing. Good God. I never make announcements, and I feel like I'm having to make 42 of them today. But one of the reasons that we have to do what we're doing on the 24th with it being online only and doing the serve day thing is because we need to be able to have time for our AVL install teams at the new building to be able to get us ready, because we are going to do a huge, those of you that have been around for a while, you'll remember this, and this will excite you greatly. But before our first Sunday, we're going to do a huge heart and soul in that new building, and it is going to be insane. So if you didn't clap or cheer, it's because you have never been to one. Make sure you're there, because it is nuts. So make sure you're there. We don't know the exact date yet because that same week, as long as Bryce's baseball team at North Paulding wins this coming weekend, we'll be in the state championship that week. So it'll either be on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how it is that that all starts to play out. Because one prerogative that I get is I'm not scheduling a heart and soul that I have to be at miss my child's state championship game. If we get there, we got to get there first. But we did make the Final Four. So that's pretty freaking awesome, I think. But nonetheless, let's jump in. Again, happy Mother's Day. Let's do a hard stop and hard start. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I really am. Let's put our hands together for all the moms that are in the room. The last thing you need, I say this at Father's Day too, like the last thing that you need in terms of a message on Mother's Day or Father's Day is like a list of 5 ways that you can be a better mom, right? Like that's the most discouraging message ever. Moms usually don't have to deal with that. Moms usually get these encouraging messages and then dads, the pastor, like, I'm gonna unleash on the fellas. And that's why a lot of times men hate going to church on Father's Day. That's why we don't do it that way. But when it comes to Mother's Day, you don't need that either, because truthfully, you already have enough voices in your head that you're dealing with on a consistent basis. There's like this constant mental scoreboard going on. Like you're just minding your own business and you're scrolling through Instagram. I know you do this because I do this sometimes. And you're scrolling through Instagram and you're like, that person has like the perfect family. And they have like perfect kids and their mom posts their report card. And some of you, you're like, I would never post my kid's report card ever because it would not go well, right? Or you see like their perfect pictures and everybody is smiling. And last time you tried to do family pictures, you had like a baby throwing up and you had the 10-year-old throwing a temper tantrum and it was just a disaster. And so you go back and forth, you think to yourself either, man, I'm doing terrible and my family is crazy. Or you keep scrolling and you're like, oh, well, at least I'm not as bad as her, right? Like that's kind of the way that it ends up. And either one of those, that's not freedom. That's exhausting. When you're constantly comparing yourself to everybody else, that's an exhausting way to live. Not just as a mom, by the way, this is gonna be an encouraging message to the moms in the room, but it's also gonna be an encouraging message to the dads in the room and the students in the room and every single person who happens to be in this room. My goal is that you walk out of here and you can breathe a little bit easier. You can take a deep breath and realize that God meant what he said whenever he said that as a follower of me, your load should be light. Your burden should be light. That's what it is that I want for you before you walk out of these doors or before you get up and walk away from your computer or your television screen. Because comparison, it doesn't just steal your joy. Comparison is not all bad, but in the context that I'm talking about it in today, it is. Comparison doesn't just steal your joy. What it can also do is it can like quietly distort your identity, which is who it is that God created you to be. And that's the last thing that you and I need. So today, what we're gonna try to do is we're gonna try to make the decision, a couple thousand people today, set them free going back out into the community and say, we're gonna stop comparing ourselves to everybody else. We're gonna stop trying to prove ourselves to everybody else. And what I wanna do today is just find, like, I don't know if rest is the right word, find comfort in who it is that God created you to be and know that God did not make a mistake whenever he created you the way that you are. That's what it is that I desire for every single person here. So not only do I desire it, I wanna show you how it is that you can do it. I wanna show you that Jesus did not just come to forgive you of your sin. Ultimately, that was the purpose. But he also came in order to be able to help set you free from the pressure to be somebody that you're not. So if you're a note taker, I'm gonna give you 3 points. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write these down. If you're not a note taker, I also want you to write these down. And if you don't write them down, just take a picture of the screen. So whenever we throw the points up there on the screen, and that'll get it done. Because I say this all the time, but I'm gonna say it again. You're not changed by the truth you hear. You are only gonna be changed by the truth you actually apply. It is very difficult to apply something that you can't remember. And if you're like me, I can forget things quicker than anybody else, it seems. Have you ever been having a conversation with somebody and they literally 12 seconds ago told you their name, and then in those 12 seconds, you've already forgot what it is that their name happens to be? So if that's you and you're like me, then take a picture of what it is that we're gonna throw up there. Here's the first one for those of you that are slow to figure out how to make your camera come up on your phone. Number 1, Jesus finished more than you think So you're doing better than you think. Jesus finished more than you think, so you're doing better than you think. As a mom, a dad, a person, an athlete, a student, whatever, as a follower of Jesus, you never arrive. Like, you never actually get there. Have you ever had goals and dreams and all these ideas in your head that you wanted to accomplish, and you thought that once you accomplished them, that you would finally be happy and everything would be good? I remember when we first started the church and we had five people, and I was like, man, five people. Thank you, Lord, for those five. That's very, very wonderful. But five people is not a real church in my head. So, Lord, if we could just get to like a couple hundred, if we could just get to 200 people, that would be amazing. And I think I'd be like, that'd be a real church, and I'd be a real pastor, because I was 27. And so I was like, I don't feel like a real pastor as it is, because every time I tell somebody what I do, they're like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, what? Like, which one? And I'm like, no, I'm the pastor. And they're like, you're the pastor, pastor? You don't look like a pastor, pastor. That's usually what it is that they said, and that is honestly what they still say to me today. That happened at the baseball field 2 weeks ago. But that being said, which, by the way, as a side note, an ADD moment, I want that to always be the case. I never want somebody to walk up and be like, you look just like a pastor, because I feel like I will, I just feel like that's not a compliment all the time. So that being said, let's get back onto this particular message, because goodness gracious, I just had an ADD moment that threw me for a loop. The point is, you don't ever arrive. I remember, like I said, if we got to 200, we'd be a real church. I'd be a real pastor. Then we got there and I drove onto the property and I went home and I'm like, this feels the same. It doesn't feel any different. I don't feel like more real. I don't feel like any, honestly, any better. And I thought, well, when we get to 500, or when we get to 1,000, or when we get to 2,000, or when we get into a real building, or whatever the case may be. Some of you, it's when I make a certain amount of money, whenever I finally get the raise, whenever I finally get the bonus, whenever I finally make, you fill in the blank, because it's all relative, right? Some of you, you're like, if I could just get a real job and have a full-time salary. Others of you, it's if I could just make six figures. Others of you, it's if I could ever get the six figures and I could get to this point and to that point and have this amount of money in the bank and this amount of money in investments and this amount of money in my retirement fund and this amount of money and this, that, or the other. And then you got there, and that's great. Congratulations. You should have goals and you should have dreams. But what you found out was it didn't bring you the fulfillment that you thought it was going to bring you, because we're never arriving. As a follower of Jesus, I'm still not where I feel like I should be. I have gratitude for the fact that I'm not where I used to be, but I still don't feel like I'm where I need to be. Does this make sense to anybody that's in this room? It's because we never actually arrive while we are here on this earth. There's always one more load of laundry to do. There's always one more hard conversation to have. There's always one more way where you fell a little bit short. And what I want to do right now is help you to see what's already true about you. It says this in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 12. Our high priest, talking about Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then Jesus, he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, you say, what offering? By the offering of Jesus offering himself on the cross, by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Now, I want you to see this. By that one offering, in other words, by doing what Jesus did, he made perfect all followers of Christ who are still being made holy. In other words, he did not say he made perfect those who have already proven themselves to be holy. He said, I made you perfect in the eyes of God because you, when you said yes to Jesus, you gave Jesus your sin. He gave you his righteousness. So what that means is when God sees you, if you're a follower of Christ, he sees you as perfect as you are right now, even though you still have a ways to go in terms of development and discipleship and becoming more and more like Christ. Does this make sense? So the point is, and this is the encouragement, God doesn't see me as perfect one day. He sees me as perfect here and now already, which is hilarious to me. It causes me to well up in gratitude, but it makes me think, man, I'm so grateful because I know that I still have a long way to go. This weekend, Friday, we were at the Elite Eight watching the baseball games, and we were playing Buford, and we, the two fan bases, are sitting right beside each other, and their fans were awesome, and our fans are obviously awesome. We had a common enemy. The common enemy that was on that field that particular day was the worst set of umpires that have ever walked onto a baseball field. And so there was like this weird camaraderie because we were both watching our teams play and we both wanted our teams to win, but we were mad at the umpires. They were mad at the umpires. We were mad at the umpires together, which made us like each other more. It was the strangest thing. And so I'm sitting there. Actually, I'm standing there because I can't sit when I'm at a game. I'm standing there and I'm yelling. I'm letting the umpires know that the Lord tells them that they are horrible at their job and that they have been born blind and maybe God will heal them of their infirmities. But then I'm looking around and I'm like, this guy started going to church 3 weeks ago. This person over here, they go to our church. I think that umpire in left field comes to freedom. Those people over there, they come to freedom and they're all watching me and listening to me. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I still have so far to go in my relationship with God that I'm letting high school baseball get under my skin this much. But I read this verse and I recognize that God said he's already made me perfect. And I'm still becoming who it is that God created me to be, but the gift of God, his righteousness that he has given me, means that when God sees me the way that he sees Jesus, not according to the day or the week or the month or the year or the decade that I've had. That's one of the things that should be super, super encouraging. Then he says, watch this, I will never remember their sins and lawless deeds. If you're a follower of Christ, have you ever done something that you're so ashamed of that you ask God's forgiveness multiple times for the same thing? In other words, Lord, I know I asked you to forgive me yesterday, but that was a big one. I need you to forgive me again. Listen to this verse. He says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is now no need to offer any more sacrifices. In other words, the work has already been finished. That's why when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, it is finished. The penalty has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. And because of that, when you become a follower of Jesus, you've been set free from sin. You've been set free from shame. You've been set free from all the things that were weighing you down. That's what it is that he's trying to help every single one of us to understand. So, the point is, you don't have to keep proving yourself to a God who already calls you perfect in Christ. I'm not trying to live for God so that I can become more pleasing to God. I don't do what I do for God so that God will love me more. I do what I do because God already loves me. I am who I am because God already loves me. It changes the game when you begin to live that way. When it's not, I'm not doing it so that God will love. I'm doing it because God does love in everything in your life, whether it's as a mom, as a dad, as a follower of Jesus, whoever it is that you are, we are able to do what we do and be who God has called us to be because of the power that God has put inside of us. That's number one. Here's number two. For the note takers, write it down or take a picture. Jesus gave more than you think, so you matter more than you think. Jesus gave more than you think, so you matter more than you think. Let's talk. It's Mother's Day, so let's talk about motherhood for just a second. Most of motherhood is invisible work. You know this, right? Like, most of motherhood is invisible work. No one claps. Like when you get up with the baby at 3 a.m., you get up out of bed and you can barely see. Nobody claps for you, right? Like you don't go down the hallway to a cloud of witnesses that are just clapping their hands, cheering you on, saying, go, mama, go. Like that is not a thing. I mean, if so, you'd be like, heck yeah, you'd walk with like a little bit more of a pep in your step. You'd be enjoying it. You'd take a bow as you were walking down the hallway and into that baby's bedroom, you know, whatever that looks like. But nobody's clapping for you at 3 a.m. Nobody's giving you a trophy when you do the 47th load of laundry that particular day. Right? Nobody does that. You don't get a laundry trophy. I mean, if so, that's awesome. I've just never seen a laundry trophy. I've never given a laundry trophy. I'm going to get you a laundry trophy. I've never had a laundry trophy. I put stuff in the dryer today before I came to church. You know what I got? Nothing. Nobody gave me nothing. Nobody gave me a trophy. I didn't get a ribbon. I didn't get a participation. I didn't get nothing. I just moved something from the washer. You know why I did it, though? I didn't do it because I was nice. It's because the washer would not stop making a noise. And it was driving me crazy. That's the reason I did it. I moved it from the washer to the dryer. Otherwise, I would have waited until I got home and let somebody else do it probably. But because it was bothering me, I went ahead and moved it over. Guess what? Nobody gave me nothing for that. Nobody gave me nothing. I'm getting some satisfaction right now just letting you know that I did that. Nobody gives you an award for like the thousands of times where you decided to show up and just be there. And be who it is that God's called you to be. And do what it is that God's called you to do. What, you know how, like with motherhood and fatherhood, you're like, you got to do it even if you don't want to. You got to do it even if, have you ever noticed that like the baby will cry even if you're not in the mood? Have you ever noticed that? Or the teeth, because it's not just about babies, by the way. Some of y'all are like, I just got to get out of the baby stage. Just you wait. Because I'm telling you right now, let them get to become toddlers where all of a sudden now they're moving around. Like stationary babies are hard enough, but when they get legs, I mean, they get legs when they're born, but when they start actually being able to use them and run around and doing their thing, that's a whole nother thing. And then all of a sudden they get older than that. Teenagers are hard too. I think teenagers are harder because then they have like, their brains are thinking crazy and their frontal cortexes haven't developed yet. And as a result, they're making decisions and you're like, who are you? And what have you done with the human that used to live inside of you? And then you go beyond that. Guess what else is hard? Having adult kids. Some of you that have adult kids, you know the truth. The truth is adult kids can be harder than little kids because you got to do it differently. You can't be like, you're 35, bend over, you are getting a spanking. I know you wanted to spank that 35-year-old before. Can't do it. Can't spank the 30. I mean, if so, that's weird. You need to stop doing that. But nobody sees all of this stuff, right? Like nobody sees it. Nobody's cheering for you and applauding. But heaven sees it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now watch verse 10. For we, all followers of Christ, are God's handiwork. That's another way to say masterpiece, prized possession. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, whatever season you're in, you're perfectly equipped for the season you're in as a follower of Christ, because God will never demand something from you that he has not already deposited in you. The fact that you've been asked is proof that you are able. In other words, whatever it is that this season demands, if you're a follower of Christ, you are ready for it, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well inside of you. That's a lot of power to be on the inside of a person. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead being alive and well inside of you. You're not random, you're intentional, you're not invisible, you're handcrafted, you're not behind. You ever feel behind? You're not behind, you're on assignment. Some of the most meaningful things you will ever do will feel mundane in the moment. So what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Like wiping noses. That's mundane. I don't know if they still do this or not, because you know it's a different time. But whenever my kids were little, they had them suction things you'd stick up in the nose. That's just like a torture device. Devin would stick that up them kids' noses and squeeze it, and like, I mean, things would come, it's like a river would come out of their nose. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But the point is, all that stuff that you do, all the diapers that you change, all the little songs that you sing, all the times you hold that baby and rock that baby and bounce that baby just so the baby will be quiet in the name of Jesus and stop crying. All the conversations that you had with your teenager and you never thought they were listening one single time, because you ever realize half the time you'd have a conversation with them and the next day they'd go out and do the exact opposite? Have you ever noticed? If you're like, I never noticed, that's because you don't have one yet. Because you've been reading these books, you've been reading these parenting books. And this is funny, because you'll start reading parenting books when you're young, and then when your kids get old, you'll be like, I must be doing everything wrong. Because most of those parenting books were written by people that have no kids. Or somebody wrote a parenting book when they got a three-year-old. I'm like, come on now. When they're three, I mean, it's hard when they're three. It's hard when they're two. It's hard when they're one. But let's talk about 22. Let's talk about 14. Let's talk about 16 when they get in their car and they drive around and get to do stuff by themselves. Let's talk about when you're not with them everywhere they go. Let's talk about how much your trust level has to go up. Not so much with them, but with God, who you have to believe is actually watching over them. It's challenging. Being a parent is hard. Praying over that kid while they sleep. Praying over them while they sleep and they don't even know you're doing it. The amount of time you spend like in tears for your kids, and they never know. And they just think you're being mean because you told them no. And they don't even know how much you hate telling them no, but the reason you're telling them no is because you want what's best for them and because you love them, but they won't ever understand that until they have a kid of their own. I'm telling you, being a parent is crazy. Is it not? I mean, y'all gotta at least nod at me or something. Is it not? It's crazy. Being a parent is crazy. It's the weirdest thing. But because Jesus was strong for you, you don't have to pretend to be strong all the time. Because Jesus succeeded for you, you don't have to perform all the time. Now, what I'm not saying, like, oh, the pastor said I don't have to perform. I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm not saying that. That's stupid. I'm saying I don't have to perform in order to try to pacify or please you or anybody else that happens to be scrolling through my feed. I don't have to do that. Why? Because I don't have to prove my worth because God already gave me that. You don't have to prove your worth, because if you're a follower of Christ, God already gave you that. Matter of fact, even if you're not yet a follower of Christ, you were still made in the image of God. He has a purpose for your life and a plan for your life, no matter who it is that you are. Sometimes what we gotta know is that the greatest contribution to the world may not be something that we do, it might be someone that we raise. But you might not feel it yet, or see it yet, because that verse is true. Train a child up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Devin told me this after the first worship experience. She said, that's not my favorite verse. I said, why? She said, because I don't know the definition of old. Does that mean when they're 82? She said, I wish it said, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are 25, they will not depart from it. Because if you knew the age, it's a light at the end of the tunnel. Right? And on the hard days, you're good to go because you're like, 25 is coming. Number three, Jesus is more than you think, so it's less about you than you think. Jesus is more than you think, so it's less about you than you think. The problem with comparison is not always wrong, but in the context that I'm talking about it in today, it is. Comparison makes everything revolve around you. Your performance, your kids' performance, their outcomes, your image. But Jesus tries to shift the spotlight for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So hear me, your worth and your value as a mom or as a dad or as a person, specifically moms or dads today, just because of the environment that we're in and on the day that this is, your worth is not determined by how smart, how gifted, how athletic, or how spiritual or well-behaved your kids happen to be. That's not where your worth comes from. Your value is anchored in what God says about you and what it is that he has already done for you. And the fact that God sent his son Jesus to live and to die and to be risen from the dead for you proves to you, or it should, that you have infinite value because of Christ. You already, a lot of us, we are praying for that which we already possess. Like, God, I just want people to see me, or I just want like a little bit of credit. I want somebody to say thank you. We can't do it for that. We got to do it because it says in God's word that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I don't do it for you. I don't do it for anyone else. I do it for God. He is the one. And I know he sees. I know he sees. He's watching. And you're being blessed. Matter of fact, if you're not careful, you'll start to complain about that which you used to pray for. Be like, I'm so tired of my kids, crazy. And I'm so tired. They always wake up. They sleep. They sleep in the day and they wake up at night and they never listen and their nose is always running and they love to go to the bathroom in their pants. Right after I got done changing them, this is driving me crazy. But yet for 10 years, you prayed that God would give you a baby. Guess what? It comes with the territory. The late nights, it comes with the territory. The difficult conversations, it comes with the territory. The teenage years, it comes with the territory. It can be the best of times and it can be some difficult times. It says it's a little bit of both. It's not all bad. Don't let people tell you it's all bad. It's not. That's a lie. It's the best of both. You know what's really frustrating as a parent? This is where you get messed up. Where you realize the things that frustrate you the most about your kid is when you realize they're just like you. And you're like, oh. Have you ever done that before? And you're like, so frustrated at them. And you're like, I did that. They sound like me. But Jesus, he frees us from trying to be impressive, from trying to prove ourselves, from pretending to be something that we're not. Because our identity comes from God's approval. God's approval does not come from our identity. I love God because God loved me. God doesn't love me because I loved him. I love God because he loved me. Same for you. You're a follower of his. Everything you're chasing, everything that you think you need to be, everything that you're afraid you're not, you already have in Christ. You're doing better than you think. Just don't give up. Keep going. I don't know what the day is. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to turn. But I'm telling you, just keep going forward. You say, well, this is a difficult season. If you're in a difficult season, you have what it takes to do what God has called you to do, because he would not demand from you what he has not already deposited in you. I want to say this, but I'm going to start laughing when I do. You can do it. I'm like, you can do it. But you can, because of Christ who lives inside of you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. And if it's true that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's a lot of power, lives inside of you, you can make it through this season. You can celebrate the season. You can thrive in a season. Say, like, how you thrive? It's never going perfectly. It's never going to. It's never going to go perfectly. You're going to have like 25 things that are great in your life, but there's always going to be one or two that are like challenging. Am I right or am I right? I'm not going to keep my head down until everything's perfect, because it's never going to be until I get to heaven. I'm going to enjoy the season. I'm going to enjoy and say, you know what, God? If you called me to it, you're going to walk us through it. It's going to be good. And you have a plan. Because we either say we believe God has a plan. You know how sometimes you're like, things are going sideways. You're all frustrated. Either God has a plan or he doesn't. God, I always say this, God has a plan for you. But guess what? God has a plan for your kid. His plan for your kid is to draw his or her heart back to him. And it might not be in a straight line. Sometimes it's like left and right and up and down. But the goal is to train a child up in the way they should go. And when they are old, I don't know what age, when they are old, hopefully old is like 25 and not 87. When they are old, they will not depart from it. But even if it is 87, guess what? The journey will have been worth it. God is trustworthy.